We're going to take a quick look tonight in Psalm 103. Psalm 103, if you will. Here's a song, here's a prayer, actually. This is a prayer, and it's also something that we sing from time to time. And so, just a reminder of that and what this is really kind of getting at. I'm not going to go into some doctrinal treatise tonight. I'm going to kind of run around in your heart a little bit for the time that we have left. Listen to what it says. I'd like to read the whole psalm, but you can do that at your as homework. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Well, Charlotte preached the first couple of verses just a little bit ago. And so I appreciate we don't have to go back over that again. He says, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. And so what she was talking about there earlier is being forgiven. Amen. That's a big deal. That is a big deal. Being forgiven and realizing that we're forgiven. And what that ought to do. See what David is doing in this prayer right here? These first couple of verses right here set the tone for the rest of it. And what he's saying here is he's talking to his soul. And he's talking to that soul and reminding that soul of what has happened to that soul. And saying, soul, you need to be blessing the Lord. Soul, you need to wake up and bless the Lord. Bless His holy name, my dear soul. Because you have been forgiven of all your iniquities. Do you not recognize that? Do you not see how the Lord has provided for you? And you need to wake up, soul. Wake yourself up right here. So he's giving himself a word. He is laying it on himself pretty thick and saying, look, soul, wake up and see what you have. Bless the Lord for what you have. He has forgiven you of all your iniquities. Well, I tell you what, we don't have enough time to list them all. We don't have enough time left in our life to list them all. And we're so bad about keeping, as I was thinking and praying earlier about our acceptable sins, we have dumbed down sin so much that we don't even mind it hanging around on us, hanging around with us. If we knew how much God hated sin, we would be ashamed to allow some things to stay in our life. I mean, that's just the long and the short of it right there. And keeping that short account on sin, I was thinking Psalm 66 tells us, says, if we regard iniquity in our heart, says the Lord won't hear us. If we regard iniquity, how does that thing work? There it is. You would think I've set these things up 6 million times that I would know how it works, but I'm on the wrong side of them tonight. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And so what we have is we have an issue where we just begin to stack up them acceptable sins to the place to where it blocks out the view that we have of God, because it hinders our fellowship in these things, right? It hinders our fellowship. And if we don't do something with that, it stays there, you see. And a lot of the stuff that stays there has become acceptable to us. It's stuff that we're not really concerned about. And because we're not concerned about it, we don't think God's concerned about it. But it's affecting us. It's affecting our relationship. Do you realize how these get gone? They stay there. I mean, the day that I asked Jesus Christ to forgive me of my sin and received Him in the pardon and forgiveness of sin, what He did that day is He took all of them, He shoved them aside and said, we're not going to worry about that no more. He shoved every one of them aside. Everything that I'd done from the time I was old enough to know better until the time that I invited Him into my heart and life. And He shoved them all to the side and said, let's start over. What do you say? I was tickled to start over. I don't know about you, but I was glad, because there's a whole bunch of stuff out there I don't want to go back into. And if I'd have had to name all of that at some kind of sitting, it would have taken me months to go down through that list. I'm glad that He wiped out those trends, as He says here and later on in the psalm, as He removed my transgressions from me. With all of that. But when I became a child of God, what he expected of me then is whenever I got involved in stuff that I ought not to be involved in, or things that were an affront to him, that I would not let that build back up. And the way that he says, if I regard that iniquity in my heart, if I'm going to leave it there, the Lord's not going to hear me. He's not going to hear me whenever I try to talk to him. It's going to hurt our fellowship. It's going to hurt our relationship with that. And so then he tells us in 1 John 1:9 how to get rid of that, one at a time. It's one at a time. It went in there one at a time, and it comes out one at a time. And unless you take a look at the things that are in your life and you don't take them to the place of being acceptable, and therein lies the problem. We regard that iniquity and we don't really bother with it. And until we get down to brass tacks with the Lord, our relationship with him is never going to be the way it ought to be. And so those things have to go, but they have to go one by one. That's how they got in there. And once you start going through that process and that lightness that comes and that holiness that comes into your life, you see, that's his goal as well, holiness for us. Until those things come, yeah, I'll take you. You see, we become light. And then when you become lighter because you've lightened the load with all of that, then you can see what the Lord has done for you. You see clearly, more clearly than you ever seen before. And you're lighter and you're closer to him than ever before with all of that. And that's what old David is saying. He's saying, oh my goodness, I've moved away from where I ought to be. And soul, you need to wake up because God is so good and He has removed these iniquities from you. You've been forgiven of all these things. He's healed you of these things. And what he's talking about in context here is what we talked about before over in James, of being sin sick and healed of that sickness, that infirmity. You know that all disease is sin, right? Now, that doesn't mean that you went out and lied or stole and all of a sudden you got the flu. But all disease comes from sin. I don't care whether you did something or not. It is part of what has happened in this fallen state that we find ourselves in. And so then he reminds us about all of that too. Who heals all of our diseases. Heals all of our diseases. Have you really thought about that before? Heals all of our diseases. I sometimes get to thinking, okay, well, somebody's got this ailment or this whatever. And I'm thinking, you know, there's a pill for that, or there's a remedy for that. Take the remedy, okay, with all of that. And yes, we ought to use medicines, and we ought to use whatever else is prescribed or proscribed, as the case may be. But what he's saying here is he heals all our diseases. If you've ever been healed, it's because God healed you, okay? If you've ever been healed of anything, using any means, it is God that has done the healing. There is no healing apart from the divine. He is the creator of this thing. He made it. He knows how it works, and he knows what chemicals will do to it. Okay? There's no healing apart from the divine. Go get your splint on, but it's the God who knits that bone. He has put that in play. That's his law. He says these things work and these things don't. And I'm in charge of all of that. He's in charge of the natural, you see. He heals all of our diseases. That ought to be something that we ought to thank the Lord for tonight. Amen? I'm going to tell you what, if you've ever had a headache, took an aspirin, and the headache went away, God be praised for that. Amen? It don't matter how it went away. It doesn't matter how it mended or how it healed, even if it was a little crooked. When it come back to you, you need to praise God for that because he's the one that healed that in that fashion, you see. If you've ever had cancer and got over it, praise God for that, amen? If you ever had a toothache and got rid of that thing, you need to thank God for that pain being gone. He's the one that heals all of our diseases. There's no healing apart from him. He is everything in all that. It says, who redeems your life from destruction and crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. I like that tender mercies part in all of that. who crowns your life with tender mercies. We have a lot of talk in this day about justice, okay? A lot of talk about justice. And people getting what they deserve and such as that. Well, my Bible says that vengeance belongs to the Lord, okay? Vengeance belongs to the Lord, and that what that implies is that He keeps pretty good records about things. He keeps really good records. And so when there are wrongs that are done, a jury of our peers may acquit us of that particular issue, but God does not. He keeps a very good record, and the records will be righted at some day. It is not necessarily my function to make sure that everything is perfectly right and justified in this life. I'm to do the best I can in a fallen state to see that equity in certain things are taking place. But I have to rely on the righteous judge who gets all of that right. Here's what I don't want. I don't want justice. I don't want what I deserve. I want God's tender mercy. Amen. And I've received His tender mercy. Have you? Oh, of course you have. You've received His tender mercies. And so when you've received of His tender mercies, what is it incumbent upon us to do? Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Remind yourself of the benefits. Remind ourselves of the tender mercies and the transgressions that have been blotted out of our lives. All of these reminders, this is a prayer that he's done here. And then it says, the Lord who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed as the eagles. You're not dead today yet. Right? Yet. Because God has willed it not to be. He has willed it not to be. We've talked about this before, my brother here and I, and some of you, about having a fear of death prior to getting a relationship, God getting a relationship going with us, and having that fear of it. There's so many things that we are fearful of that we're missing the fun for today. We're fearful of so many things, worried about so many things, anxious about so many things that we're ruining today. We're ruining the fun that the Lord wants us to have today. I catch myself sometimes thinking, okay, it's going to be 2 weeks now till I go have fun. It's going to be 2 weeks till I go and have fun with my people. And then I catch myself, what? What? I'm postponing. And that's what we do with retirements and all. You know, one of these days when I'm through with all of this, I'm going to retire and I'm going to have fun. And I delay my fun. I'm delaying these things that the Lord wants me to have today. Because, again, you're not dead yet. You're not dead today yet, okay? And we don't know what day that is. And when we delay, sometimes it catches up with us. That catches up with us. And so, another point that he's making in all of this is don't delay all of that. Just live this life. Be grateful and thankful for the moment and live the moment. Live the day. Live today like it's the day that you were made for. Amen. Live this day like it's the day that you were made for in this time. So, and then we also forget about, you know, we ask each other, what'd you do today? Oh, nothing. What happened today? Oh, well, nothing, not much. Not much happened in my life today, you know, nothing, just regular day and all that. Well, think about your regular day, okay? Just think about nothing and what happened in your regular day. You weren't run over by a truck, huh? Nobody robbed you. You didn't get chased and run road rage, run off the road, and any of that sort of thing, huh? I mean, there's a lot of things that didn't happen to you today, all right? And day after day, that same thing happens. There's a lot of things that didn't happen. So the unseen hand of God has been at work all day long on your behalf, making sure that things don't interrupt your day so that you can have a fun day and a good day with Him. And so instead of looking at it as nothing happened, think of all the things that could have happened that God didn't allow to happen, and then that ought to make you say, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Bless His holy name. Amen. Because there's so much that could have gone wrong at any moment during this, the entirety of this day. So the prayer that he prays is a reminder to us. A reminder to us that he is to be blessed and that he's to be praised and that there's so much that he's doing for us, seen and unseen, and to get back in on track with him. Get that iniquity knocked down. Get those acceptable sins out of our life. Get back into good fellowship and enjoy the ride, because this soul right here has had a lot of tender mercy that has been accredited to its account, and you as well. All right? So sing it if you can. Say it if you can't. Bless the Lord, O my soul.